So there's prayer again. It shows and grows our faith. It draws us nearer to God, speaking of intimacy. Prayer involves us, thirdly, in what God is doing in eternity. We get to participate in what God is doing in this world, that the stuff that God's doing that will last forever. Are you with me still? A lot of words. I didn't give you anything to like look down and read, because I've given you just verses. I want to make these claims. I want to support them in Scripture. That's why on the bulletin there's a notes section. You could write down if you want to go and look this stuff up afterward, right? Prayer involves us in what God is doing in eternity. We get to participate in what God's doing. Do you believe that? Do you believe that God has you participating in what He's doing through prayer? As I'm going to make a case, I hope strong enough. Okay, here's one thing that Jesus said. And I want to say this to say that prayer matters to people who are looking on. Okay, this isn't me directly doing something. This is in me praying to God. It has effect on people who are seeing me pray. That I know that I'm praying, hear me pray, know that I'm a prayerful person. Here's what Jesus said in John's Gospel, chapter 11, verse 42. Jesus said, I know you always hear me, speaking to his Father in heaven. I know you always hear me, but I said this on account of the people standing around, that they may believe that you sent me. Okay, chapter 11, verse 42. Jesus prayed out loud so people hearing would go, wow, and that they would believe. Then there's this other story. Elijah in the book of 1 Kings chapter 18. Do you know Elijah and the priests of Baal? A big number, 437 priests and Elijah, one guy. And it's going to have a little contest here, a little face-off. You pray to your God and I'll pray to my God. And whichever God sends down fire from heaven, if they mean lightning, I don't know, but fire from heaven, that is God. And so, tell you what, you guys go first. And all day, scream, blah, 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 blah. They cut themselves because that was their religious practice. Nothing. Elijah's mocking them. He goes, maybe he went out to get his messages. He might be in the loo. Nothing. No action. And that actually is a colloquial translation of the things that Elijah said. I'm not being totally cheeky. It's in Scripture. That's what he did. Then it was his chance to go. And what does he do first? He goes, you know, cut up the sacrifice and go down to the river and dump some water on it. And the guys went far. They went like past here to the Devon far to get water, came back, dumped it. And he said, do it again. So he did this like three or four times. Totally annoying, the guys who carry the water, I'm sure. But he set up this impossible situation, okay? These guys prayed, they prayed, and nothing. And then he comes over here and he goes, make it really wet. The kind of wet that keeps things from burning. And there was a trough around it. So now there's a moat where all the water dribbled off and filled up. It's really quite a scene. That's the background for what I'm going to read to you now. So 1 Kings chapter 18, verse 36. At the time of the offering of the oblation, Elijah the prophet came near and said, oh God, O Lord, God of Abraham, Isaac, and Israel, let it be known this day that you are God in Israel, and that I am your servant, and that I have done all these things at your word. Answer me, O Lord, answer me, that this people may know that you, O Lord, are God, and that you have turned their hearts back. And then fire from heaven, consume the sacrifice, consume the stones. I don't know what that means, but something so hot that that stuff turned to rubble. All the water in the moat around just whoosh. And I mean, booyah. You know, God just in his mercy and in his grace, in answer to Elijah's prayers, which Elijah said that I did this at your word. So God said, here's how it's going to go. Do it this way. Elijah, in relationship with God, hearing from God, speaking words that put down a stake so other people watching could see and believe, that's prayer, boy. That's prayer. You pray like that? I don't pray like that. James uses Elijah as our example for prayer, though, in chapter 5. You have to go look at that. Because I don't pray like that. But James tells us, you know what? Elijah is just a plain guy like you. He's a plain person with a nature just like yours. He's just a human who's connected to God. And that's what happened. That's amazing. The power of prayer is the point of this sermon. The power of prayer to show our faith, to grow our faith, to draw us nearer to God, and also to participate in what God is doing here on earth in a way that inspires other people to faith, as we talked about while Jesus was praying, while Elijah was praying. And then prayer matters to the world around us too. And this is the finish of the sermon. I'm tired of hearing me too. This is the finish of the sermon. James writes in chapter 4 of the book of James, "You don't have because you don't ask." Do you hear? Luke writes, as we read before, "Ask, seek, knock." And we heard, "And it will." You will. It will be opened. In the book of Exodus, which one day I insist we're going to read through, in chapter 32, Moses implored the Lord his God, and the Lord relented from the disaster that he had spoken of bringing on his people. Do you hear that? God was going to do something. Moses prayed. God didn't do it. You hear that? Scripture says it happened that way. Do you believe? Do you have room in your faith for speaking to God in ways that will change what he's going to do so that he does something different? Or were you told that it's all in stone and it's all going to happen and there's no way to get around it? Because Moses prayed and God changed. In 2 Chronicles chapter 7, verse 14, one of the most quoted verses of scripture, "If my people who are called by my name humble themselves and pray and seek my face and turn from their wicked ways, then I will hear from heaven and I will forgive their sin and heal their land." If, then, do something and change results. We are participating in this free will with something God's doing that isn't all set in stone. What does it mean? What does it mean? God sees everything coming, okay? I'm not saying that there's something God doesn't know and then I've informed him and he goes, "Oh, you know, you're right. I wasn't thinking about that. I'll do something different." That's not it. Today, you walked here and at some point you turned right instead of left. God always knew you were going to turn right. But God knows everything that would have happened if you turned left. And all things work together for good for those who love God and are called according to his purpose. Scripture tells us a still small voice telling you whether to go to the right or the left. This is the way. Walk in it. A relationship with God that guides us, that gets us to where we're going, because he does have a plan that's working out. But I'll tell you what, you turn right or you turn left, it doesn't stop his plan. He still gets there, but it does change whether you went right or whether you went left, and you're making choices. You know, don't get hit by a lorry today. But if you did, things change. If you listen to your parents and you don't run out into traffic and you don't get hit by a truck, you got a whole life ahead of you. And then if you do, something happens. It's tricky business, this whole predestination, free will rub. That's all it is a rub. We don't see how it works, but we know that it exists. And I'm saying today, on the free will side of the very strong insistence that we are participating in what God is doing in the world, that we're making decisions that alter the course of the reality we will live in when we pray. Do you feel empowered by that idea? Or do you think I'm speaking rubbish? Because it pertains to how we pray. If you believe that you are powerful in the hand of God and effective in your prayer and that things change, you'll be a person who prays. But if you think, alas, the deck is stacked, the cards are dealt, I'll just take what I'm given and just get through it. And if it's all right, can you heal my boo-boos and I'm not asking for too much? Then you won't pray as much. You'll pray when it's crisis. You'll pray when you're urgently terrified. But God has put us in the world to be more effective and useful in how we participate in what's happening in the world. In 1 John, and this is the last quote I'm going to have from Scripture, if we confess our sins, He is faithful and just to forgive us our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. The way to finish this right now is to say that we need to talk more about it. If prayer changes the way that God acts, what in your life will benefit from intercession? You know, praying on behalf of something. Do we pray little? Do we believe that prayer accomplishes much at all? The point that I made today is that God shows and grows our faith through prayer. The things that come out of us, the things that we hear ourselves say, the things that God does in response to prayer, it shows and it grows our faith. Prayer draws us nearer to God. There is intimacy there. He's given us the Holy Spirit. Engaging with God, listening and speaking is prayer. Supplication with thanksgiving. Prayer involves us in what God is doing in eternity. We participate in what God's doing through prayer. And if we do something like confess our sins, then He's faithful and just to forgive us our sins. We participate in the effectiveness and the assurance of our own salvation when we respond to what God is doing in us, that He's doing in us, and He gives us for some reason this little lever on our heart when we say yes. He convinced you so you would say yes. He gave you the strength and the sense to say yes. I don't know how much of all of it is the 98-99% of God at work in us so that we say yes, but there is in everyone in this room something of that hinge of our participation and response in prayer and seeing what God's doing and saying yes to that and seeing what God isn't doing and saying, oh Lord, please help with that. And together we're growing closer to God and He's going to have His way with us here in this church. There are things that we need to see in the life of this church. Each individual member, people who are here, people who are not here yet, people who wish that they could be here, people who on purpose are not here who used to be. Everyone has need of a closer walk with God. And prayer is a magnificent and primary means for engaging with God. And so that, on the heels of talking about the death, burial, and resurrection of Jesus Christ and the gift of the Holy Spirit who intercedes in us with God, that we might enjoy this relationship that is available through prayer. Let us pray. God, You are good and we trust You and we pray that You would make use of this stuff in our heads about faith and intimacy and participation through prayer. Amen.